And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
It is a very British national shortage, with waiting lists running into years, and even in a few cases, decades. The green-fingered Britons, whose faith in ever reaching the top of the queue for an allotment is faltering, could find their prayers answered, thanks to the church. A small but increasing group of parishes in England are giving over parts of their churchyards or neglected land around their buildings to cultivating fruit and vegetables amid surging demand for grow-your-own food. Clergy hope the idea will help churches forge new ties with their surrounding communities, many of whom who have never attended services, as well as creating their own local Eden in often deprived inner city areas. The Church of England's 10,000 local churchyards have been described as being like an extra national park. It is unique in owning land in every neighbourhood of the country. And while much of the land in churchyards are given over to graves, ancient trees or have historic importance, other areas have long been neglected. At St John the Evangelist, Old Trafford in Manchester, a traditional red brick city church surrounded by rows of terraced houses, the standard smattering of roses and concrete paving has given way to everything from carrots to Cape Gooseberry, as well as flowers in spaces in between. A diverse band of local volunteers have recently been experimenting with growing kiwi fruit, and thanks to the installation of a new polytunnel in the churchyard, their first crop of melon. Unlike private allotments, the parish has put up signs inviting neighbours and passing school children to help themselves to anything ripe, but also to make use of the watering cans left out to tend the plants. The vicar, the Reverend John Hughes, who draws inspiration from the guerrilla gardening movement and St Francis of Assisi, said the initial impetus had been to make the churchyard more welcoming and less like a fortress. There are signs saying, "Pick me when I'm ripe, water me when I look dry," so children on their way home from school pick up the watering can, but also might pick up other things, said the Reverend John Hughes. "It could look like a forbidding space," he said. "Church grounds don't say, keep out, but sometimes that's the feeling, so we wanted to make it much more obvious that you can come in. Unlike your own allotment, what we grow we expect the community to harvest, so it's very permissive, but people don't abuse it. There are signs saying pick me when I'm ripe, water me when I'm dry, so children on the way home can pick up the watering can." For those who want to catch the gardening bug in earnest, the parish also has strong links with the local allotments. "In the area, people still have yards and not a lot of space," he added. "If we are serious about care of God's creation, we should find ways of getting our hands dirty. It is important to be earthed, and what better way of doing that?" In a parish in which around 40% of the community is Muslim, the garden has also been a powerful tool in building new links. Kath Wade, the parish gardener who oversees the plot, said, "Some volunteers have been returning for years. People walking past often stop to speak to gardeners. It can be a thank you, a memory about a plant, an inquiry about what the buildings are for, a chance to let people know that they can go into the church for a look, a request for a plant, a piece of gardening advice, someone in need of a bit of human interaction or wanting to give us some encouragement. Rather than the garden being damaged, people bring us plants and equipment. We have plants from and are given plants to local mosques." It is a similar scene at the All Saints Church in the centre of Wolverhampton, in which local children grow carrots and other crops in the church garden. Meanwhile, at another All Saints, this time in Nottingham, a corner of the churchyard has been given over to cultivation by a group of refugees and asylum seeker women from across Africa and the Middle East who have formed a gardening and cooking club. Diane Skerritt, the project organiser, said, "When they meet on the first Thursday of each month, they have a subgroup who have planted vegetables and herbs, and much joviality and wonder occurs due not to being able to understand why plants don't grow quickly as they would in a warmer climate, and also how the water lingers on the top. The corn looks very healthy, but an iota of faith is needed for some of the other vegetables." It's 5 years this month since Muammar Gaddafi's government in Libya was overthrown when rebels stormed his compound and he went into hiding. However, despite high hopes, the ongoing anarchy there now makes it one of the most dangerous places in the world to be a Christian, according to a new report by Open Doors International, whose World Watch research team monitors such developments. the church in Libya, made up almost entirely of foreign nationals, was never entirely free to worship during Gaddafi's reign, notes Libya Freedom of Religion in the Land of Anarchy. But it says the situation for Christians is now much worse. The anarchic political and security condition in contemporary Libya has created an environment conducive for radical Islamic groups to persecute Christians blatantly and violently with absolute impunity, says the report, authored by World Watch research analyst Jonas Dembele. Open Doors estimated 25 Christians in Libya, only 150 are Libyan nationals who belong to underground house churches due to the difficulties of practicing Christianity when being ethnically Libyan is considered synonymous with being Muslim. Many of the rest include migrants from other African countries on their way north, many of those hoping to eventually cross into Europe. The dangers of being a Christian, native or otherwise, are exacerbated by a growing climate of intolerance of other faiths than Islam, the report notes. Quote says, "They shaved our heads. They threatened to sever our heads in implementation of Islamic Sharia while showing us swords. I was taken to clean a bathroom and the man pushed my head inside the toilet and sat on me." The persecution against Christians is not only being perpetrated by organized Islamic militant groups. Christians face harassment and persecution in their everyday life from ordinary Libyans as well, it states. A 29-year-old Nigerian Christian is quoted as saying, "I've had some scary interactions with men on the street. One day I was attacked because I was wearing a cross. The men said I should have covered it." An Egyptian Copt is also quoted. Amgad Zaki, 26, described his ordeal at the hands of one Islamic group. Libyan Shield says, "We were forced to take off our clothes in cold weather and stand at 3 a.m. outdoors on floor covered with stones." Dembele adds that in a single incident, around 100 Egyptian Christians were arrested for allegedly proselytizing, leading some to argue there was intent to fully eliminate the presence of Christians. After the three mass summary killings of Christians in Libya last year, during at which at least 49 Christians from Egypt and Ethiopia were beheaded and shot, Amnesty International quoted a Nigerian Christian as saying Libya was a country where Christians shouldn't come. Amnesty's report says Christian migrants and refugees in Libya are at particular risk of abuse from armed groups aiming to impose their own interpretation of Islamic law. People from Nigeria, Eritrea, Ethiopia and Egypt have been abducted, tortured, unlawfully killed and harassed because of their religion. The report ends on a positive note, suggesting the formation in January of a unity government backed by the UN provides a ray of hope that at least a semblance of law and order can be restored. In Vassell Park, New Jersey, a humanist group is demanding the borough remove a memorial honoring fallen soldiers outside the public library, saying the inclusion of a Christian cross constitutes government endorsement of religion. In an August 11th letter to Mayor Carl Hokanson, the American Humanist Association threatened to bring litigation if the borough did not immediately take down the display. The design violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment and suggests the borough values the sacrifice of Christian soldiers to the exclusion of others, the non-profit group said in its letter. If your government wishes to recognize fallen military personnel through a display, it must do so in a religiously neutral manner, wrote Monica Miller, the organization's senior counsel. The display, erected outside the Roselle Park Veterans Memorial Library in late July, shows a soldier kneeling over a grave with a cross rising out of the dirt. Several small American flags stand in mulch behind the imagery. Roselle Park is no stranger to tugs of war over religious symbolism associated with government property and events. Complaints about the Veterans Memorial originated from Gregory Story, husband of City Councilwoman-at-Large Charlene Story, who in December temporarily resigned from office after Hokanson helped to rename the city's annual holiday tree lighting a Christmas tree lighting. Charlene Story sits on the board of the Friends of the Roselle Park Veterans Memorial Library and the board of the Humanists of New Jersey. Gregory Story said he approached the American Humanist Association for help after he felt Hokanson had ignored his expressed concerns about the library memorial. The association, a national group that advocates for the separation of church and state, quickly took up the cause. "My feeling is the whole town, the whole state, the whole country owes a huge debt to veterans," Gregory Story said. "But when you use a religious symbol with one memorial, you're cutting out veterans and serving soldiers of all other faiths and no faiths. Hokanson, a Democrat, said he bought the display with his own money and donated it to the library on Chestnut Street. Kit Rubino, the library's interim supervisor, said the installation of the memorial came as a surprise to her. She said she heard hammering on the lawn of the library one day and found a City Public Works employee putting up the display, supposedly on the mayor's orders. Rubino said she understood why someone might take issue with the Christian cross. Still, she said, it's a beautiful donation. She added that she thought the library's board of trustees should have gotten a chance to officially approve the project. We didn't know anything about it, Rubino said. It was put up on our lawn. Hokanson's last run in religious controversy began in December when the City Council voted 4-2 to make the annual holiday tree lighting into a Christmas tree lighting. Charlene Story resigned in protest, but rescinded her resignation after she talked with Hokanson, a fellow Democrat and a former running mate. And finally, a woman from Wayne, West Virginia, left her two beloved canines in her car while she popped into Walmart, leaving the air conditioning on to ensure they didn't get too hot. This required her to leave the keys in her car, resulting in the dogs somehow disengaging the parking brake. A witness then saw the car rolling slowly towards her before jumping out of the way when she noticed a dog was behind the wheel. The owner of the pups, a woman in her late 70s, was able to drive her home with just minor damage. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.